this title of this morning's sermon is Living a Circumcised Life in the Workplace. And there's three things we're going to look at this morning. I don't want to give you a turkey dinner like I've done in the past, a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm going to give you a ham sandwich, a little bit of cheese, and some spicy mustard on one side. But I want you to think about this. And we're going to look at it from not only the workplace, because as we see in scriptures, even though we might be retired or we're at home and we don't actually go to a workplace, okay, you're still at work. You're still at work. So the three points we're going to look at this morning is, what is work? We're going to find out what work actually is. I mean, it's of God. We're going to look at the scriptures. How do we exhibit a circumcised life in the workplace? What does it look like? And then the third one was, why would we want to live a circumcised life in the workplace anyway? So those are the three points we're going to look at. And if you would turn to Genesis in your Bibles this morning, we're going to start out with what is work? I mean, some people say that work is a four-letter word, if you know what I mean. Some people hate work. They hate going to work. But we're going to find out that work is actually ordained of God. So we're going to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be in verse 15. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And this is after God had created all the stuff, the trees that clapped their hands, you know, all the bugs, the brooks, the mountains, everything that's here. And he created a beautiful garden called Eden with climate control, okay, and fresh running cold water and all the delicacies you'd want to eat, like baklava hanging from the trees. Oh, that's always good. And jelly beans and all that, right? All that stuff was on the trees? No, there was fruit there. Beautiful fruit. Probably apples and bananas and oranges, mangoes. What's your favorite fruit? Let's think about that. Pomegranates. Oh, yeah, all that fruit. But in chapter 2, verse 15, we see what work was actually supposed to be like. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. To cultivate it and keep it. Man was now put in charge of the earth, and he was placed in that special place, the Garden of Eden, to not only have a relationship with God, but a relationship with all the animals, and he was supposed to tend and keep it. And I'm sure he had just 9 to 5 hours. You know what? It was probably a work of enjoyment. He could spend all day from morning to evening enjoying his work. And then we find out later on, things went awry, and then Adam and Eve were both thrown out of the garden, and work became a toil. It became something of a drudgery because of that original sin. But work didn't go away. It got even worse, didn't it? So how do we live a circumcised life in this workplace, this fallen workplace that we're in right now? And as I alluded to, some of us are retired. I don't know how many retirees are here. Don't raise your hands. We don't want to know. We don't want to age yourself or date yourself in any way. I can say I'm getting close to retirement. I'm going to be 58 this year, so I'm getting right close to where that milestone's going to happen where, oh my goodness, we hit retirement. But most of us here are working in some form or another, okay? I work for the electric company. And I'm going to use me as an example because I know what's going on in my workplace and how I live a circumcised life in my workplace. I'm also going to touch on moms and people that stay at home, okay? I'm not leaving moms out of it. Okay? Because they have a work to do too. Let us turn to Deuteronomy and look at what the Lord says about how we're supposed to be in work. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 6. And I chose this verse because it speaks of circumcision, okay? We're to live circumcised lives, just as the Israelites were supposed to live circumcised lives. They got circumcised in the flesh. We have been circumcised in the spirit, which is even better than being circumcised in the flesh, because the spirit permeates all the flesh. Your spirit is what drives you, and your spirit is what controls the flesh that tends to get out of control sometimes, right? So in chapter 30, verse 6, it reads, "Moreover," and this is Moses speaking, "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live." So that you may live. Well, you're going to say, what does that got to do with work? Well, you got to be alive to work. Your entire life is 8 hours a day if you have a 40-hour work week, and some of you are lucky to have that. Every once in a while, some of us have an 80-hour work week. But normally, you have a 40-hour work week. You're alive in that. 8 hours a day, a third of your day is spent around other people and around tasks that you have to complete in order to receive a monetary paycheck. I mean, that's why we go to work, right? Because we have to, buy food and you have to, pay the mortgage and put gas in your car. And, let's not forget about insurance. You got to pay your insurance. You get in trouble if you don't pay your auto insurance. And as of right now, you get in trouble if you don't have life insurance. Go figure. But that's what you have. So you have to go to work. Most people have to go to work. Some people have figured out how not to go to work and still get a paycheck. But most of us here in this room, we go to work. So you have to have a circumcised heart in order to represent God in the workplace. And that's what it means to exhibit a circumcised heart in the workplace. God has called you to that job. Did you ever think about that? I've used this in the workplace to sometimes try and steer the people who are in charge of the workplace into that better place. You know what I mean? As an employee, I want the best for my company. And so I've tried to kind of steer them a little bit. But I want you to think about this. God has created you with all your abilities. You are unique. There's nobody else like you. There might be some people similar to you, okay? Daughters, sons might be similar to you, but you are unique with your abilities and what you can do. And I'm not just talking physical abilities, strength and vigor. I'm also talking about the mental activities that you have. God has given you a certain amount of mental prowess, mental powers, but you also have a spirit. And from your spirit flows love, joy, peace, patience. Believe me, sometimes in the workplace you need a lot of patience, especially with that coworker who's driving you crazy. You know what I mean? Why can't he just or she just follow through and do what they're supposed to do? Or why are they doing that? In Proverbs chapter 16, God tells us what we need to do to try and be that circumcised person in the workplace. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 3, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says here, to commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, I'm almost thinking the context of that scripture would be for more of an agrarian type lifestyle. People who were, you know, had farms and maybe had sheep. For when this was written, that's mostly what was going on. There wasn't a lot of industry back then. I mean, you didn't have steel mills and stuff. There wasn't power plants. So they didn't need linemen. Nobody was climbing poles, stringing wires through the palm trees, or laying buried cables in the desert to get the houses lit up. I mean, that wasn't there. So this sort of thing is to commit your plans, commit your work to the Lord. And he would grow, you know, they would put it in the Lord's hands, that they would have a good crop harvest, that the olive trees would bear a lot of olives, that the sheep would have a lot of sheep, the goats would have a lot of goats, you know, all that stuff running around. Okay? But in our time, how does that fit for us? You know, when we go to work, somebody's telling us what to do. I have a boss that's above me. He says, David, I want you to take these two guys, and I want you to take a line truck and a bucket truck, and you go out and you go fix this car pole accident or put a new pole in the ground. Okay? He's telling me what to do. So how do I take that to the Lord? Well, each time before I take the truck out, I pray for myself and my men. I pray, Father, keep us safe. Keep us cognizant of our safety rules. Watch over us. Because one of the most dangerous things that we have to deal with is not electric, because we know the rules. We follow those rules, right? There's certain rules you got to do to put 7,000 volts right here in your hand and move that wire around and tie it into an insulator, okay? There's certain rules you follow. Our most dangerous thing is the drivers on the road. People driving their cars, and sometimes they're like this, or like this, okay? And they're not seeing where they're going, and they run into our trucks, which is a catastrophe. So I pray in my circumcised spirit for the safety of myself and my men. I pray for them. Commit your work to the Lord. That's one way to do it. If you're in an office, okay, and you're typing at a computer, you're doing that sort of thing, where you don't have to be out there in the public and then, you know, the cold and the hot and the wind and the nice days. You know, I get some nice days out there. It's a beautiful day. I love being out on a beautiful day that the Lord has made and working like that. But if you're in an office, well, how do you commit your work to the Lord? You pray for the people around you. You pray into their lives. Because just like you, okay, they come from families, they get beat up in a little bit, you know what I mean? Sometimes you have an unhappy child, or somebody's sick, or your parents are sick, that sort of thing, and they come to work with all those burdens on their heart, all right? Pray for them. Be ready to comfort them. If they come to you and say, you know, I really got beat up. My parents are in a nursing home. One of my children's on drugs. You know, something like that. Pray for them. Be there. Exist in the spirit. Try and feel those spirits around you. You can tell when people are unhappy or they're being hurt. Even if you, say, wouldn't be allowed to actually lay hands on them because of workplace, whatever, nonsense that you have, you can't touch each other, somebody's offended, pray for them. In your spirit, realize that they need your prayers. That is how you live a circumcised life. I'm going to give you two examples from my workplace that the Lord has blessed me with. Okay, and I'll show you how that circumcised life actually functions, okay? One of the things is someone, I'd say about 15 years ago, 11 to 15 years ago, we started getting younger guys into the shop. For a bunch of years, I was the young guy. And then all of a sudden, just like that, some of the older guys that I really enjoyed working with, they left, and I became the old guy. I became the line leader. I no longer climb the poles anymore or go up in the bucket. I got young people to do that, young guys that are strong. Oh, one of them got a horse. He's a weightlifter. I want to tell you what, he's got arms on him like, maybe not like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but if he ever took a swing at me, I don't want it to connect. You know what I mean? He's a tough guy. But then a funny thing started happening. The Lord's name kept getting used in vain. And it started out kind of slow, but then it started picking up pace. These younger guys, you know, they're unchurched or they just, you know, we're around guys, we're heavy construction, man. You know, we go out there, we climb poles. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're tough. We're tough. So we got to talk like men. You know what I mean? Talk like men. And that started resonating in my spirit. And I thought, you know what? Being around construction guys all my life, I want to come up with a different way of approaching this. And the Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, when they cast my name down in the dirt, lift it up. So that's what I started doing. It took probably about a year and a half. Someone would use the Lord's name in vain. They would say GD, and we all know what that is, right? Okay, you guys say it every day, right? Right? And it comes out of your mouth. Well, the guys would just say it flippantly. They would just say, I'm going to go over and do that GD job this morning. And what I started doing was, Lord and Savior. Didn't matter who was around. And I never said it to that particular person. I would just lift God's name up. If they said Jesus Christ in an offhand way, I always said, Lord and Savior. Never at them. And it took about a year and a half. And now no one uses the Lord's name in vain anymore in my workplace when I'm around. Okay? I never went after somebody. I never said, Bob, you gotta quit saying that. Quit talking, using the Lord's name in vain. What's the matter with you? You ain't working on my crew anymore if you keep doing that. Never did that. Never put that person on the spot. But every time they threw the Lord's name into the dirt, I'd lift it back up. And they'd look at me, what are you doing? And I say to them, well, you threw his name in the dirt. He's my God. I'm lifting it back up. Are you going to keep doing that? Yeah. I said, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. And they tested me for a while. They would throw out the Lord's name, and I'd lift it back up. I didn't care who was there. It could be in a company meeting with the president of the company there. Somebody used the Lord's name in vain. I just shout out, Lord and Savior. Up. It's Reverend Dave, the nutcase in the back. That's him. You know? I never let that bother me. I just kept doing it year after year, month after month, moment after moment. And I want to tell you what, strange things start to happen when you live a circumcised life in the workplace. This past year, we had a milestone in our safety program where we didn't have a motor vehicle accident for over a year. And the company said, oh, we're going to have a picnic for you guys because you're doing so well with safety. Guess who they asked to give the prayer over the meal? Me. President of the company comes, hey, Dave, come here. We need you to do this. Because the people under him, the managers and directors and stuff, you know, they started to figure out that Dave wasn't going to put up with that nonsense of people using the Lord's name in vain in there. And they thought, well, you know, I mean, obviously he knows what he's talking about. Let's get him to pray. Let's put somebody up there who knows how to pray. That's what happens when you live a circumcised life in the workplace. God starts making more opportunities. You know what I mean? Another thing that the guys like to do, and it's really bad because, you know, when I first started to work, there was a locker room for the guys. Locker room for the girls. I worked at Three Mile Island for 11 years, so there was, you know, everybody had a locker room that they need to have, okay? And in the guys' locker room, I don't know about the girls' locker room because I never went in there. I don't know what they're doing in there. It's probably very clean, right? No? Oh, my goodness. But the guys would have inappropriate pictures of females, okay? And I have to confess, when I was younger, I did too. But when I started living a circumcised life, I went, I don't want to look at that. I have a beautiful wife. He gave me the most beautiful, gorgeous woman on the planet. Why do I want to look at other women? Okay? But that was a long time ago. Nowadays, everybody got one of those newfangled pocket devices that you pull it out, and you can talk into it, and the strangest thing happens, you can press buttons on it, and it'll show you pictures. So every once in a while, one of the guys will go, "Hey, Dave, look at that." That is disgusting. I don't want to see that. I said, why are you showing me this less than perfect girl when I'm married to the most perfect girl we got? And I said, why are you looking at it? Because you're married. I thought you married not only the most beautiful girl, but the perfect girl. So why are you looking at that stuff? It's all in how you present your circumcised life. If you go at them wanting to fight, they want to fight back. But when you use logic and you say, why are you doing this? You're hurting your marriage. You're hurting your relationship with your wife. Then it starts to sink in a little better. Not at first. I mean, some of us men really have thick skulls. I mean, do you remember the pictures of, you know, ladies with rolling pins? The wives that give the husbands a bop in the head with a rolling pin? All right? I don't know, who uses rolling pins anymore? Anybody have a rolling pin? You have a rolling pin? Ah, good. My grandfather must have been a really hard person to deal with because she had a rolling pin that was about that wide, about that big around with huge handles on it. You know what I mean? And she was a big hunky woman, Hungarian woman. She had arms on her like a linebacker. And when she hugged you and kissed you, it was just all grandma. And when she was mad at you and you needed a spanking, you got the cuffleffel. Anybody remember the cuffleffel? You remember cuffleffel? Pennsylvania Dutch for wooden spoon. And she had a big one. And we'd go dancing. I've danced with her a couple times. She'd have a hold of one arm, and off would come the cuffleffel, and around we'd go. Until I learned a circumcised life. You couldn't sit down. But that is how you exhibit a circumcised life in the workplace. Be true to Jesus Christ. Okay? Be true to what your spirit says. You know what's right and wrong. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow those construction workers. Don't let that happen. If you would turn to Titus chapter 2 in verse 5, Titus, we're heading towards the New Testament here. Titus, after the 1st and 2nd Timothy. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 5. I think I messed that one up. Somehow I must have wrote down the last one. Well, I'm going to use that anyway. I'm going to use it anyway. This might be one of those moments when God takes over. And I was writing this sermon and going over it early this morning around 2 o'clock and just making sure it was right, and I didn't see this. But in, wait a minute, I'm in Timothy. No wonder I'm the one that's messed up this morning. Chapter 2, verse 5. I was a couple pages over. And this, Paul is talking to women here at home, okay? But sometimes in our culture, ladies go to work and the men stay home. A little crazy, but there are times when I would have liked to have sent Amy to work and I could have stayed home. I think it would have been easier, some of the things, and then she's telling me that she would like to go to work and then have me stay home. But we're looking at somebody who stays home. How do you live a circumcised life in the workplace, which is now the home, which I think is far more difficult than being out in the workplace? It says, be sensible, pure, workers at home, being kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Sensible. Now I know, and my wife can attest to this, that sometimes it's hard to be sensible in the home. You've got teenage hormones, whether it's male or female, running rampant all over the place, causing all kinds of problems, right? I want my way, and I want it now, and I'm going to have it, or I'm going to drive mom and dad crazy, okay? I have two teenagers over here I will not name that are smiling and laughing. I got one over here that's smiling, looking at me, going, is he going to call on me? No, I'm not. But remember, all of us, parents, I remember when I was a teenager, okay? And my grandmother was very sensible. She lived with us. My mother and father worked, and she got the cuff level out. So as soon as the whining started, she was very sensible. She made it so I couldn't sit down. Okay? She was living a circumcised life. And she was going to use a wooden cuff level to circumcise me out of those bad attitudes. I'm not saying that works every time. It worked for me because I'm a male. I'm a knothead. I got a skull that's full of cement. Okay? Did when I was a teenager. Exhibit Christ in your home. And it's very hard to do. Moms, fathers that are staying home because mom's at work, grandmas, grandparents that are, you know, helping to babysit children. It's hard to do. When they're young, they're easy. They want to cooperate. You give them a cookie, okay, and a toy, and, you know, they'll leave you alone for a little while, okay, unless it's Lily, my granddaughter. Lily follows Amy all over the house all the time. So if you give her a cookie, what she does is she eats the center, gives the two ends to Vader, our dog, and then goes after Nana. And that only takes like 2/10 of a second. And so the dog's now following Lily. Lily's following Amy. And Amy's got to exhibit a Christ-like life in the home. While she's going, oh, I just want to get the laundry done. I understand. But try. Because that's what God asked you to do, to try. He knows you're not going to exhibit it all the time, the circumcised life. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Savior who, when you fall down, you don't have to pick yourself up. He comes over and He picks you up and says, dust you off. Come on, let's try again. And that's what will happen the rest of your life, living a circumcised life in the workplace, wherever it may be. Now, for retirees, okay, I don't know if I have any retirees in here at all. I'm getting close, but I'm not sure. Well, yeah, well, I think I found one. There's one retiree who's still working, though. So how do you exhibit a circumcised life in your workplace? You may be retired thinking, okay, I'm done working. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't think so. You still go out. You don't sequester yourself in a house and not go anywhere. You may be playing golf. You may be going out to eat. I'm sure there's hair appointments, okay, stuff like that. There's things like that happen, right? My mom's retired, and she goes to the movies. She goes to the hair appointment. She used to go to the casino. I don't know why she would do that. I mean, you worked hard all your life. You take your money to the casino, and you give it to someone else. Give it to me. Don't throw it away gambling. I'll take it. But in a retired life, you're still working, because what are you doing? You're interacting with young people. You're interacting with other retirees. You can live a circumcised life with those other people, especially like golf buddies. I don't know if people hear golf. I don't golf. I think it's crazy, but some people love to golf. And it's good exercise. You get out there, you're whacking a ball around, you're walking all over the place, right? But you're with other people that are golfing. Talk to them about Christ. I mean, you usually ask them, how you doing? Hey, Bob, we're going golfing today. How's your day going? And Bob will lie to you. Hey, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. When it's not, you can feel in the Spirit. Talk to them. Talk to your friends. And I'm not picking on you, Bob. You understand that. But when you find somebody in your sphere of influence and they're having a tough day, be Christ in their life. If someone says, if you ask somebody, now, I've had people ask me today. Miss Sally asked me, how's your day going? And I told her, and we had prayer together. If someone says to you, I'm having a horrible day. This happened, that happened. Don't just blow it off and say, oh, well, I hope tomorrow's better. Let's get away from this guy. We're not going to have any fun with him at all. You pray for them in public. I probably told this story before, but one time we were in West Virginia on an out-of-town trip because there was a lot of damage down there, and we rolled up to this restaurant in rural West Virginia, and there was a woman standing they had a big deck out front, and this woman's standing there, and she is pissed. I mean, she is mad. I can tell from far away as Tom is. She's mad. All the guys are getting out of the truck. They're going in, and I'm walking up to the steps, and the Holy Spirit just talked to me and said, pray for her. So that's what I did. I got there. I started talking to her. I said, how are things going? Everything's horrible. I'm going to quit this job. I hate it here. I said, oh. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. I said, well, let me pray for you. So all the guys are walking past me. I got my hands on this woman, on her shoulder and her forehead, and I'm praying for her. And they're all going, oh, God, there's Dave again. Oh, so embarrassing. I don't care if they're embarrassed. I'm not. Guess who I was praying for? The cook. She was going to quit. Nobody was going to get fed. I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit knew it. So we get in there, and I find out later on, you know, they're making fun of me. Dave, Pastor Dave, Reverend Dave. One guy at work calls me Reverend all the time. Never calls me Dave. Hasn't in the last 10 years. He's called me Reverend. Hey, Reverend, how's it going? That's what he calls me. So they're making fun of me, and I said, well, guys, I said, let me explain something to you. I said, that lady that I was praying over, that you thought it was silly, she's the cook. I talked her back into going to work. You weren't going to get fed. When was the last time we seen a restaurant? We must have drove like 2 hours. There was no restaurant. We find this wooden log cabin type building, and it says, you know, restaurant, hog jowls, pig stomach, all that stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, it's out in the rural area. They're hungry. I kept the cook from, well, I didn't, the Holy Spirit did. But I put forth the effort. That's how you live a circumcised life in the workplace. That's how you live a circumcised life everywhere. No matter what you run into, the Holy Spirit is going to put you in places that people need prayer. Somebody needs to be touched and talked to. I mean, look at all the liberals out there. And I'm not picking on anybody here. But all the liberals out there that are crying their eyeballs out because Trump got elected president. There is a lot of opportunity to pray for people. You know what I mean? They're crying their eyeballs out. You might meet them on the street. They're just standing there crying. You just walk up and say, everything okay? Can I pray for you? They may run off. Huh? But you were living a circumcised life. Which takes me down to, why would we want to live a circumcised life in the workplace anyway? And I pretty much answered that, if you know what I mean, what I've been talking about. It's to be Christ-like. It's to bring that Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you, okay, to other people. You may be, by living a circumcised life all the time, the only Bible that someone will ever see. There's people out there that are humanists that they say there's nothing beyond this. There is no God. There was no Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he might have been there, but they lied about him. They wrote all this stuff down. And they don't know. All they know is they're going to live their lives, this physical life. They're going to live it. And at the end, they're going to die, and that's it. There's nothing else. You know what I mean? They're struggling along every single day with no hope of a future in eternity. You can exhibit that hope and future by living a circumcised life. I'd like to leave you with a couple of readings here that I looked up. And this one's from Martin Luther King. And it's on work. Okay, what work is. And this just equates to everybody. And he said, if a man is to be called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or as Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Whatever job you're working at, do it so well that the boss says, you know what? I like Joe over there. He goes the extra step. He goes the extra mile. If I ask him to do something, he does it cheerfully. He does the best that he can. That's also living a circumcised life. Because I want to tell you something. You may have a boss that's over you, but you're not working for that boss. You're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your boss. When you're a Christian, he is the head of the church. He is the head of your family. He is the head of everything. And you will give an account to him one day. So you're not actually working for your boss. And I've used this with other people, higher company officials and stuff. I've said to them, you know, when they want to do something really dumb, you know, and you got to sometimes say something. I'm the type of person, I mean, I'll work stupid if you order me to do it, but can we do it a little smarter? I don't want to work harder. I want to work smarter. So I'll say to them, you know, you are where you're at in the position of this company, however high it is, because God gave you those attributes. So that means that one day you're going to give an account to God for how you ran this company. Just think about that a little bit. That's too with us. How you live your life, whether it's at work, at home, at play, you're going to give an account to God, to Lord Jesus. He's going to say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, heaven with all the stuff that's going to be there, the best part is going to be able to hear Jesus say to me, David, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the glory that my Father has prepared for you. That's going to bring tears to my eyes. And I'm sure I'm going to have them even in the spiritual realm. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'll have glorified tears. It's going to be, tears of joy. I did a good job. My second reading, and then I'm going to finish up. I think, well, we're a little early, but I guess it doesn't hurt to get you out early. Please don't tell Pastor Rich that I only preached 25 minutes. He won't care. And this is from Charles Spurgeon, okay? One of my favorite preachers. If anybody knows of Charles Spurgeon, he was a 19th century preacher. He preached in London. He was called at a very young age, like 11 years old. He was asked to preach, and he got up and did it. I mean, he was very young. He never went to college. But God gifted him with the ability to preach so well, and he read hundreds and hundreds and thousands of books. And he started a college for pastors, okay? Here's what he has to say about work. And I'm taking this from one of his sermons. I'm not plagiarizing. I'm giving him the acolytes because he actually wrote it. If henceforth, man, this is English, you know what I mean? So I'm going to try and say this slowly. If henceforth our desire is to live as to the Lord and not unto men, then what we do must be done with the heart. In singleness of your heart, and again, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Our work for Jesus must be the outgrowth of the soil of the heart. Our service must not be performed as a matter of routine. There must be vigor and power and freshness, reality and eagerness and warmth about it, or it will be good for nothing. No fish ever came upon God's altar because it could not come there alive. The Lord wants none of your dead, heartless worship. You know what is meant by putting heart into all that we do. Explain it by your lives. A work which is to be accepted of the Lord must be heart work throughout. Not a few thoughts of Christ occasionally, or a few chill words, or a few chance gifts, and a little done by way of byplay. But as the heart beats, so must we serve God. It must be our very life. We are not to treat our religion as though it were a sort of offhand form, which we were willing to keep going but not make much of it, our chief thoughts being engrossed with the home farm of self and world, with its gains and pleasures. Our Lord will be aught Caesar or aught nullus, either ruler or nothing. My master is a jealous husband. He will not tolerate a stray thought of love elsewhere, and he thinks it scorn that they who call themselves his beloved should love others better than himself. Such unchastity of heart can never be permitted. Let us not dream of it. Let us not dream of it. Oh, the words of some of these pastors from days gone by. Let us always strive to be Christ to all our fellow men as each heartbeat pounds in your chest. Is it for Christ? Or is it for yourselves? Only you can decide that. Only you can change that.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.